Blog Talk Radio.
That's not the song. Welcome to this episode of the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Thomas Smith, and today we have a phenomenal show. We're going to deal with the issue, the blatant double standard racism being exhibited by the left against Herman Cain, and I have my midweek co-host, Ms. Shelby Emmett, and our special guest, Jennifer Montrose. She's a part of the Elect Herman Cain grassroots campaign. So stay tuned for this episode of the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, welcome back to this episode of the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed here on Blog Talk Radio. And first of all, as is always important, I would like to open up with a word of prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I want to thank you for my two guests that I have here today with me, Lord God. But first and foremost, Father, I ask you that you would be with my sister and that you would just give her the strength to be able to go through what she's going through with her cancer, and that you would strengthen her, that you would show her your healing power, show her your healing virtue. And Father, I ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you would just continue to show yourself real and show your love and encouragement to all of us. And I thank you for the honor and the pleasure of the two guests that I have today, my midweek co-host, Ms. Shelby Emmett, and our special guest, Ms. Jennifer Montrose. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you have done and for what you continue to do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. My favorite scripture is this. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is no fear in love because perfect love casts out all fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Love covers a multitude of sins, and last but not least, it is the love of God that leads one to repentance. Now, I am very honored. I am very honored to have made an acquaintance on Facebook with this young lady who has so graciously agreed to be my midweek host, at least for the first 30 minutes. But I will tell you this, if you have listened to the Exceptional Conservative show on Monday nights, 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, you have heard her. And this young woman, let me just give you a little background information. She is a policy analyst, co-host of the Exceptional Conservative Show, and a commentator for Project 21, which is a Black American public affairs arm of the Center for Public Policy Analysis. She has earned her BA in political theory, constitutional democracy, from James Madison College at Michigan State University, and she double majored in social relations and policy. She also earned her JD, which is Juris Doctorate, from the UDC Law School in 2010. Now, having said all that, this young woman, she's taking what she has earned and she is using it to get her message of not only living by the Constitution of, well, let me just break it down like this and just be real. She's sick and tired of folks going around the Constitution, and her heart's desire is to see our nation restored to the greatness that it once was. And with no further ado, oh, by the way, we're going to talk about the racism and what Herman Cain has been dealing with, and I'm going to tell you something, be prepared, because she has a powerful commentary. Shelby, welcome to The Visible Conservative, and thank you for joining me tonight.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it. I feel truly blessed.
Well, the honor is all mine, my friend.
Well, you know, this I appreciate, first of all, that wonderful intro. You're making me seem smarter than I really was. I just really like to argue back in the day. I was kind of a dork, so Madison was a good fit for me. And thanks to Obama, now it makes me very employable, which is pretty good. So,
yes, ma'am.
So, having a degree in constitutional studies was, you know, as dumb as these Occupy Wall Street protesters that got their degree in gender studies and, you know, upset because they don't have a job.
Right.
But unlike I had a plan, and you know, I wasn't expecting a job to be given to me. I always had the idea that I'd have to create my own. So. But, you know, this Herman Cain thing is, I really wanted to discuss that this is much bigger and deeper and philosophical than the surface of what the media is saying. You know, this isn't, we keep comparing this to, oh, you know, well, politicians go through this all the time. Look at Bill Clinton, look at Newt Gingrich. This is completely, really has nothing to do whatsoever with sexual harassment. This has nothing to do with how women are treated in society. This has nothing to do with the dynamics between men and women in the workplace. This is everything to do with two main things. The cling that slavery still has mentally and spiritually on Black people, and the political establishment slash Democratic Party machine. The first point, you know, to this idea of slavery, you know, we as a constitutional conservative, you know, of course we recognize slavery happened. We understand how horrible it was, which is why, at least in my opinion, why I am a constitutional conservative. The idea of putting my livelihood, my ability to obtain housing, a career, a job into the hands of an entity, be it another human being or the government, is no different to a constitutional conservative than the man owning you on the plantation. There's absolutely no difference. So we recognize that with any attempt of the government telling us that we need them, we read that to mean need is another word for control. That's how the constitutional
right.
conservative works. And as a black American, we should be, I wrote an article about this a few months ago, we're supposed to be the soul of this country in terms of, and I don't mean that the cachet of, the cliche of, you know, soul food or soul music, even though that relates to it, but I mean on a deeper level of, we are the liberals love to say that we're the descendants of slaves, right? We're the descendants of man's most horrible tragedy, and we're these horrible, you know, people that went through these horrible tragic and were victims and blah, 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 and we need sympathy and we need help. But we take that to mean that we're supposed to be like the United States Marine Corps in terms of first line of defense of freedom. You know, we're supposed to be the ones that can sniff it out before it even becomes something on anyone else's radar, because we're so attuned and aware of what happens when individual, natural, God-given rights are at all blurred. You know, that's
right.
what we're supposed to be, and it's supposed to be a badge of honor. But the liberals have, you know, they were the party that fought to keep slavery, and when that didn't work, they fought to try to stop states from making independent decisions about how they would treat human beings. And they said, nope, you got to return anyone that gets caught back. And when that didn't work, they resorted to the KKK.
Right.
And when that didn't work, they went to Jim Crow. And when that didn't work, they went to big government, take away the family union, daddy will step in as the government. And when that didn't work, they're resulting back to class warfare and victimization. This is the same cycle. But the sad thing about this is, when you hear our quote-unquote black political elite,
right.
and I say that rolling my eyes, of these, you know, these Harvard professors, and I say this as someone that's been in school my whole freaking life, and I love my professors, but professors and reality are two very separate things at times. And you have these black commentators looking down at another black man, not because of who he is as a person, but simply because the color of his skin doesn't match up in the way that we're supposed to be thinking. And if that is not the single most saddest thing, not because the fact that it's black-on-black racism and we're hating on each other, that's the surface stuff of it. That's like talking about rap music and how rappers disrespect women. But on the deeper level of that is how slavery is not that far removed. We've made
right.
such wonderful progress, but the thing is, nothing can be, we're not entitled or have the right to anything anymore because we've got it all. Everything else, the rest of the process of being free, can only happen within ourselves. And
right.
when you hear other black men telling a black man that he's quote-unquote out of place, calling him a monster for the white man and an Uncle Tom simply because white people like him, and because he's not threatening, number one, that makes you think two things. Number one, it's our own black people trying to pigeonhole us as to what we can and cannot be.
Right.
The same idea is that one of the reasons why it was so hard for me to not vote for Barack Obama was because as a girl growing up in Detroit and volunteering in the schools and growing up in the schools, to finally see a little boy drawing himself in a suit with the American flag behind him standing tall instead of thinking he can only see himself as being a rapper, that brought me hope. I still couldn't vote for the guy, but that brought me hope. But
right.
when we have our own black men in society say, well, wait a minute, now, you know, you can still be a positive black man, but only if you think this way, and only if you don't do this so they think that you like them, and only if you continue to see yourself as separate from everyone else, and only if you think the way that we expect you to think. I don't really understand how that's any different than 1825 back on the plantation somewhere in South Carolina with the overseer telling me how far I was allowed to walk, what books I was allowed to read, what I was allowed to say, and if I don't say it, I'm going to get myself lynched. And isn't this exactly what's happening to Herman Cain?
Yes, that
I mean, this
exactly.
This is an absolute lynching. There's nothing being talked about women. Nothing is being talked about women here at all, or the dynamics of women and men in the workplace. What a wonderful conversation. Talk about, you know, is it time to revisit sexual harassment laws? What is the dynamics of the workplace now with women now more in the workforce than men? I mean, if anything, don't we kind of just have to revisit this whole idea, because there's more women working now than the men are.
Right.
More importantly than that, I mean, you've literally, I want to break down to the second part of this, which is the political machine of it.
Right.
You have on the left a man running, and I'm not endorsing him. I love a lot of what Herman Cain says, but I'm not sure yet. I think he still would be a great person in anyone's administration, but I'm not sure in foreign policy, so I just wanted to make that clear. But you have a man on the left that is self-made, that saw his father work and work and work and work, and he went from being the guy who drove the president around, chauffeur's son, to owning the damn company.
Right.
I mean, that's what it's supposed to be about. That's what America is supposed to be about. And that's what he represents.
Right.
And you have everyone on the left, number one, I've never heard of anyone insulting somebody because he's quoting the way that his grandparents spoke.
Right.
Now, he's always being teased because his grandmother always said the line, "I does not care." And now we're supposed to be ashamed of that, as if that makes, that he's representing that black people are simple or what, or old school, or what is that? Because I take that as a sign of, number one, the guy grew up with people around him that had some common sense and had some very deep sayings that said a lot. And quite frankly, my grandfather was white and said sayings like that all the time, so I don't even get the racial component. It shows
right.
me that the guy has wisdom around him, that he
right.
came from humble beginnings, and that's someone that I could relate to, that I could aspire to be. And
right.
this idea that he can't relate to black people, so he has to make white people like him, why can't he? I don't understand what black person can't relate. What American can't relate? Why does it have to be he relates to just black people? And it just goes
yeah.
back to this idea that because the Democrats encroach every single population that they get based off the idea that people are incapable of being able to succeed on their own. They started it with black people. They started then with women. Then they brought in Latinos. And now they can't do that. So now they're hitting the young kids. And that's why these Occupy Wall Street kids complain about their student loans. It's all about making people victims,
right.
showing them, look, I have a goodie for you so long as you get in line. And Herman Cain goes against all of that. And quite sadly, when I hear particularly these black elite people on MSNBC and at Harvard, if that's not a self-sign of what a reflection of self-hate.
Right.
If
right.
that's not a sign of self-hate, I don't know what is, because how can we ever move on as a country if we continue to pigeonhole ourselves? You can never expect, quote-unquote, a white man to see you as anything but a man if you refuse to see yourself as a man.
Right. Repeat that. Say that again. Say that again.
You cannot expect a white man or anybody to see you as anything but a man unless you first see yourself as one as well.
Right.
And that's all this boils down to, because Cain takes that victim, feel sorry for yourself, racism, life isn't fair mentality, and blows it up the window.
Right.
It drives him nuts. And this is, you got to remember, this is part of the Democrats' strategy here. If Obama can't play the race card, what does the man have?
Absolutely nothing.
I mean, he's got nothing. I mean, the guy can't run on his record, so the only thing that he can do is go after the race thing, and quite frankly, the Republican Party is such a bunch of wet suits with no backbone and no sense of principle anymore that these people just cower and fold. And the moment
exactly.
Obama uses the R word in debate, Romney's going to blush and fold and won't be able to address anything, And in contrast, you actually had Herman Cain that went to my hometown. The definition of what liberalism does to people, Detroit, Michigan, and actually created an economic plan specifically for cities like Detroit. I haven't seen the Democratic Party do that.
And they're not going to, because their whole purpose, you know, their whole purpose is to frame us, like you said. They want to frame us the way that they think that we should be.
You know, and I can't even, I used to get very mad at it, the machine, you know, as we'll call it. But, you know, this goes back again, this really goes back to philosophy, and it goes back to political philosophy and human nature. And the bottom line is, conservatism, constitutionalism, it doesn't sell you anything. You know,
right.
we're not trying to give you anything. We're not trying to make things easier for you, because I hate to break it to you, life ain't easy.
Nope.
my grandmother used to say that, and she used the word ain't, so I guess that means I'm not intelligent either. It's about understanding that there's some things that life is, and you know, my grandfather used to say, look, the only thing you're entitled to is to be born and to be free, and that the rest is all a game of chance.
Right.
That's pretty
right.
much what we sell, right? I mean, everything pretty much has to come down to you, God, and chance. Because you might do everything absolutely perfect and be the best at whatever it was and came in first all the time. At the end of the day, you still might not succeed. But that's
right.
the beauty of it.
Right,
and
right.
liberals are trying to sell a form of utopia that just doesn't exist. And our problem is the reason they've been able to succeed in the black community is because we've done such a poor job as peoples, our own communities, of holding ourselves to a higher standard.
Right.
We expect, you know, where I'm from, for example, a young black guy that makes it to 21 that never went to jail and hasn't gotten a woman pregnant, that seems something to be proud of.
Right, exactly.
You shouldn't be celebrating that. There's nothing to celebrate there. You should be
right.
expected to do those things.
Exactly.
And this, you know, but look at everything else. You know, I was at, I'm in Maryland, you know, the most unfreest state in the union. And, you know, they got these kids making sure that they're environmentally literate, but at the same time, they don't make sure that these kids can read. And they don't, in some classrooms, they won't even do reading aloud anymore because they don't want kids to feel bad that they can't read as good as other kids. When did this start? Because I can remember. You know, peer pressure does wonders sometimes. And what's the, you can't make kids, not that they should feel ashamed that they can't read, but
right.
what is this idea that you can't hurt anyone's feelings anymore?
Right.
Because I hate to break it to anybody, but I don't care if you're a black guy or a white guy or whatever, but your feelings are going to get hurt in this world, and if you're not prepared for it,
right.
no amount of government programs is going to help you.
Okay, Shelby, let me ask you this, because what you just said stunned me. Let's rewind for a minute. Did you just say that they care more about the kids being environmentally literate rather than reading?
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the law. The new thing in Maryland now is kids have to be tested to ensure that they're environmentally literate. I don't even really quite know what that means. You guys can figure it out. Put on your liberal green hat. But at the same time, Maryland, particularly City of Baltimore, has some of the lowest performing schools on reading and math. So, you know, why are we spending, I don't know about you, but I think it's much more important and relevant and necessary for these kids to understand how to read and to how to comprehend and maybe how to earn money and balance a checkbook than it
right.
is to understand, I don't know, the endangered species of some bug or something. I understand that's important. I'm all about the animals, loving too, but the schools can only do so much. And until, this is my same theory on government, look, the Constitution gives the federal government three responsibilities. When the federal government can handle those three responsibilities, then we can have a discussion about giving them more. You know, when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, my grandfather, World War II vet, I was able to start driving. He said, you know, when we see how you're driving, I'll let you drive at night, or I'll let you drive with more than one friend in the car. I had to earn such things.
Right.
It wasn't just expected. And I had certain parameters that I had to live by. And if, for example, I couldn't listen to the radio if I was driving in his car, because I would always have it on my stupid music stations that he'd want me to listen to. That was his car, his rules. We have a constitution thing. There's rules. You can play all day within those limitations, but that's it. Well, in the school districts in Maryland and in liberal districts all across the country, your kids may not have to necessarily be able to read efficiently, but darn it, they're going to understand that human beings cause global warming.
You know, I'm still wrapping my head around that, because there wasn't no human beings during the Ice Age, but what caused the earth to freeze and warm when there wasn't no people? And you know, it's just kind of interesting how they're trying to reduce the carbon emissions in the air, which is CO2. But let me show you how stupid environmentalists really are. Okay. If they reduce the carbon emissions at the rate that they're talking about, 25% to 30%, the plants and animals in this world will die, and I'll tell you why. Plants give off oxygen as a waste. Humans give off carbon dioxide as a waste product when they breathe.
You know, yeah, exactly. But, you know, this the whole big picture of this, though, is to point out that, you know, number one, we brought this on ourselves. The liberals have been able, and this is why they were able to get these laws turned over in Ohio, as they have been able to infiltrate every aspect of the civil society, indoctrinate, and mobilize their viewpoints. Conservatives,
right.
Constitutionalists, we have it, mainly because we're employed, we have things to do, we like to, you know, run our own lives, take care of our families, pay our bills, we're not really trying to be bothered with what you're doing, just stay within the law,
right.
Leave me alone. That's kind of how we operate. But we need
right.
to start infiltrating again. You know, it
right.
is a darn shame that your school isn't required to make sure that your children understand the true meaning of the 3/5 clause and stop teaching that it is to little black girls and black boys that the Constitution was created to make you 3/5 of a person.
Right.
An absolute lie.
Right.
And they do that because the moment a little kid learns that Constitution sees them as nothing, then guess what? They won't appreciate it, and nor will they care if it's enforced or cared about. This is what they do. So we have to start getting back into our local school boards. You need to start demanding, look, you guys can teach global warming all day long to your blue in the face
right.
after you focus on the basics. And the basics are going to be what we decide, because we're the parents, and I'm paying you to be teaching.
Right.
And if they're not doing it, then you need to get your community together. Maybe grandma and grandpa's retired. They like babysitting the kids. And let your grandparents teach your kids. Because I would take Herman Cain's grandmother and all her quote-unquote improper grammar to be my teacher any day of the week over those elite black liberal professors at Harvard.
Right, right. And you know what? That is the commentary, Shelby. That hit the nail on the head. And I wish you could stay longer. Are you sure you can't stay longer?
No, I can't, but I will definitely be back, so.
Well, make sure, though, that you catch the rest of the show in the archive. And before you go, Jennifer, do you have any questions or comments for Shelby or anything like that? Do you, anything you want to add to what she just said?
Hi, thank you for having me on, Thomas.
No problem.
I just want to say that I believe that God has been lost somewhere in our nation.
Right.
And I believe that it needs to be told. God is still alive in our nation, and
right.
the stuff that we see happening around. You know, I don't just get things given to me just because.
Right.
You know, and so I want to say thanks for your efforts in trying to help, you know, get the real message out there. I just, you know, I don't think that there's enough spoken about what a true conservative message is out there.
Right, right,
which,
right.
Which our original Frederick Douglass spoke about.
Right.
Yeah. So,
well.
Yeah, I really believe that needs to be, you know, that has been missed for years.
Right, right. And, you know, your friend Kay Carl Smith is a Frederick Douglass Republican, so, you know.
Yes.
Anyway, well, Shelby, I will see you, my friend, next week. Actually, I'll probably be Facebooking you and stuff. But thank you so much for that. And you know that you are not fighting this battle alone. And one thing, though, Shelby, before you go, I'm going to say this. Keep an eye on the grassroots movement of women tanks. Keep an eye on that. Because, and listen to the, if you get a chance, listen to in the archive to the rest of the show. And Jennifer's going to talk about exactly what's going on with the grassroots movement of with Herman Cain, because despite what people are saying, this is the man I believe with all my heart to lead this nation. So,
yep, definitely. I'm one of the leaders for Maryland, so I'm very excited to hear the rest of the show.
All right. Wait, I didn't know you're a Herman Cain grassroots leader in Maryland?
Of course, yeah. I like I said, I really, really love Herman Cain. I'm really trying to you know, help out more with the social policy formation. And, you know, just like I said, I'm still keeping an open eye, though. My same thought process applies just like anything else. I have my notebooks
right.
out. I take notes on what everyone is saying. And my goal is put the best constitutional conservatives we can that can get elected into that White House, because I think this is the last election in my case. We're either going to be the United Socialist States of Europe, or we're going to be the United States of America, and this is going to be the year. So,
amen.
Anyone but Romney.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
All right. You guys have a great night.
You too, Shelby. All right. I am going to take a break, and after our short break, I am going to have my guest, Miss Jennifer Montrose. We're going to talk about Herman Cain and how things are looking. She's going to share a little bit about the caravan and if people want to travel south, but I'll leave it at that. So be right back in about, let's see. I got a good song for you. Get y'all hyped up. This is Yolanda Adams with Mr. Kenny G on saxophone. I Believe I Can Fly.
Everlasting.
Welcome back to the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Thomas Smith, and for the last half hour or so, we had Ms. Shelby Emmett, my midweek co-host, who did that commentary, and she is phenomenal. You can find her on Facebook. You can find her Monday nights co-hosting the Exceptional Conservative Show here on Blog Talk Radio with Mr. Kenneth McClinton. Two phenomenal, phenomenal people. Now, the moment we all been waiting for. Folks, let me tell you something. In this country, it's not really about how famous you are or how famous you aren't. It's about the American people. Now, the establishment on both sides of the aisle, they like to toot their horns because they have all this money and this, that, and the other. Oh, and by the way, Herman Cain is worth $18 million, so the man's not poor. But by law, you cannot use your own personal income for a campaign unless you loan it to your campaign, and even then there's limits on what you can loan yourself for your campaign. Anyway, there is a mobilization, a grassroots movement across this nation to get Herman Cain elected. There are thousands of people. Folks, you guys have no idea the tidal wave that is about to wash over this nation. You think Obama mania was something? The truth of the matter is this. This man, with the help of people like my next guest, he's going to be swept into office. Let me give her a proper introduction. She is the central Alabama leader of Elect Cain 2012 grassroots campaign. She is also the leader on the Crimson for Cain committee. She is a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. She is a pure, 100% red-blooded, all-American patriot, not because of any greatness that she may have attained, but because she looked at a man based on his virtue and his character, and not because of the color of his skin, but the content and character of his heart. And she said, based on his words, that is someone that I can believe in. And so she put her money where her mouth is. She is on board. She is helping with the Cain Train Caravan, which she will give you more information about. So, with no further ado, welcome Miss Jennifer Kaniak Montrose. Welcome to Christians Unleashed, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me on. It's a great day to be on the Cain Train. And the wonderful thing about the Cain Train is that we have God that is leading the way.
Amen.
There is a Cain prayer train on board that is girding up the Cain Train. And that became official a couple of days ago. So there's a lot of exciting things happening. There's plenty of prayer warriors out there that are praying for our nation. And there are those of us that believe that he is our next president of the United States. We need a man that will allow the Lord to speak through him. We'll have the opportunity to make a change and to bring back this nation that has been sadly lost. People are wanting to take God out of school, prayer out of school, to be politically correct, to take Christmas, to take Jesus out of Christmas, and it just saddens me. There's so many things that are happening in this nation that we allow to happen.
Right.
People are making choices. I believe that it is time that we recognize babies from the heartbeat.
Right, right.
That is so important. And I believe that Herman Cain is the man to do that. And there are many, 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 many others, boots on the ground, people that are involved in this Elect Cain committee that are on the grassroots that are not even accepting money to do what they want to do. I mean, they're up all night online. They are going door to door. They are going out of their way to create signs, to put things on freeways, to get on the radio, to speak, to talk about the fact that they are fed up.
Right.
That our Constitution has been forgotten about. People
right.
don't even understand. I remember as a child that we had to memorize the Pledge of Allegiance and we had to memorize the preamble. And those things have been lost.
Right.
It's sad that when a woman discovers that she is 15 and she is pregnant, that someone will suggest to her to go and murder her baby.
Right.
And, you know, I think that that Herman Cain has been clear. He stands for pro-life. He's made that stance. He doesn't waver from that, you know. And there are those of us out there that are backing him, supporting him wholeheartedly. You mentioned the Cain train convoy
Carefully.
That's going to be heading out to South Carolina primaries. I would like for those of you out there listening that want to get on board with this caravan, we will be leaving January the 11th, coming back on that Sunday the 15th. There are several states involved, Georgia, Alabama, North Carolina, Tennessee, South Carolina, where the primary is going to be held, and I think I heard yesterday that possibly Mississippi will be getting on board. But it is time that the media does not elect our next leader. It is
Amen.
We the people that are going to stand up, and our voices are going to be heard. We are no longer going to be told what to do.
Right.
I remember Herman Cain when he said to us when he was young, and somebody told his mama was telling him, "Don't go drink from that white fountain. You will get in trouble if you do that." And he looked at his brother, and they shrugged their shoulders in disbelief and like, what's the big deal? And nobody was looking around, and he ended up, he said, you go first.
Right.
And he drank from the white fountain, and then his brother did the same, and then they drank from the black fountain, and they both looked at each other, and they said, there's no difference. What's the big deal?
I like that story.
You know, and people come up to me and say, we were at the straw poll, and Lisa, a friend of mine, came up to me, and he said, I can't believe there's not more people here with my same color eyes. It's not about color. It's about the substance. It's about what's in your, you know, from the inside out, you know.
Right.
And I believe that there are so many people that are out there that are trying to get this message. Frederick Douglass, he was a Republican.
Yes.
He lived it, walked it, breathed it as a slave.
Right.
He believed in spite of all the things that he had to endure and the things that he had to watch.
Right.
That God had a purpose. And instead of fighting all of this with hate, he fought it with love. In prayer, and one thing that I very much respect about him is his choice to be a free thinker instead
right.
of just following the pack. He decided that he wanted to understand this for himself, and he began to educate himself in any way that he could. Possibly learn to read, and he would get books and books and millions of books, and he even wrote several himself.
Right.
And he decided that he wanted to educate himself, not just listen to what the media had to tell him and what his forefathers had to tell him. He wanted to understand it for his own self.
Right.
And I think that over the years, we've lost that. We want
right.
to be spoon-fed. Welfare is not a place for you to come sit and roost. This is a place, if you need it, it was put into place to be of a help to you, to be a boost for you, so that if you're in time of need and you need a little help, do what you need to do to yourself, to learn, to educate, so that, you know, you can teach someone how to fish and they can feed themselves for the rest of their life.
Right.
But if we allow big government to feed us continuously, then am I ever going to have pride in myself, in my country? You know, just so many people said, you know, to Jesus, why are you hanging out with those people over there? They're not going to do you any justice. And Frederick Douglass embraced the people around him, you know, and I think we need to do that for our neighbors.
Right.
And Herman Cain is the man. Herman Cain is the man. And so, you know, anybody that's there, anybody that, you know, doesn't believe that, pay attention, listen, read the facts. Read
right.
the facts. Don't just listen to what your mother had to say or what your father had to say, but read the facts for yourself. There is a movement out there to reignite America, passion for liberty. There is a movement out there, and the people that I talk to that are wholeheartedly supporting Herman Cain, even with all these allegations, we saw right through that stuff.
Right.
And this is a man who, in spite of all that has been happening to him, that the media is throwing out at him, he said, this is what I want to do to improve our country. These
right.
are our problems, and I'm going to find solutions. He is a
right.
man that went to Israel with his wife because he understands the need to keep friendships with Israel and
right.
their purpose.
Let me plug a movie which Herman Cain is in, actually. He makes an appearance. January 13th, the day before, the caravan will already is pulling out on the 11th. But on the 13th of January, 2012, the Runaway Slave movie created by Pastor C.L. Bryant will premiere in 100 cities across America in AMC theaters. Now, for those of you who don't know, actually K. Carl Smith is also in this movie, I do believe. That's what Pastor has shared. Now, spread the word. In fact, I am going to post in the chat room, you can see the trailer. Go to runawayslavemovie.com and check it out. And this is, I believe, in the latest trailer, Herman Cain is in that trailer. So go check it out. Now, I want to ask you, let's speak about these allegations against Herman Cain. Because I've heard people say, well, there's many people coming out, so that must mean he did it. First of all, the mere fact that she described the sexual assault as inappropriate behavior, that did it for me right there. Because what she described, and let's just be honest, she was saying that he reached up under her skirt and fondled her and then pushed her head down towards his crotch. Folks, and Jennifer, you're a woman. is that inappropriate behavior or is that a sexual assault?
I believe, in reference to all these allegations, that there is a movement out there to try to silence what we need here as our nation moves forward.
Right.
Herman Cain is a man to do that. And as he gets more and more in the spotlight, this is going to happen. I believe that the first thing that I thought of was, why is it that you wait till now to come out with these allegations?
Right.
I will speak from my own personal experience, okay, that I have had things happen in my life, and I have had to seek shelter. This was back in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, I was not silent about it.
Right.
I needed help, and I did what was necessary to get the help that I needed, you know. And so, I just really find it hard to believe that all of a sudden now that this person, Mr. Cain, has all this name ID. Because I remember when we were all hollering on the Cain train, why don't they give him his equal voice, you know, when they're doing these debates, why don't they give him equal voice when they're talking about, you know, who's on top in the polls?
Right.
I remember, and now all of a sudden he's considered a serious front runner, you know, and now these women are all coming out of the woodwork,
right.
You know, So, I just believe that as we keep our eye on God as our motivator,
right?
And God is the one that is leading us in our passion,
right?
For change, that God is our rock. And all of this will eventually come to pass.
Right. If you had to take a guess, how many people nationwide would you say so far is on the Cain train?
Well,
if you just had to venture a guess.
I can tell you that when you go to the official Herman Cain Facebook page, there are 7,312 that are all signed up right now. And that's just on the official Herman Cain Facebook group page. Then you have another website, the Elect Cain Team. There's over 30,000 of us out there.
Right.
And the media doesn't have a clue. They don't think it's necessary to pay attention and look. But if you look at the October 1st with his fundraising and where his money was then, and mind you, he's not getting corporate, you know, donations and such of any mass quantities. People are contributing to his official site, $9.99.
Right.
And as this last November the 6th, we were a day ahead of schedule on our fundraising for Iowa. He hit $1 million.
Oh, he actually blew past that.
He blew past it, yes.
Yeah, he blew past it. And in fact, all total, he actually, I think they said, from October 1st to November 6th, he raised $9 million. And before then, he had raised $4.7 million. So now he has on hand roughly $13-14 million.
Right.
So, you know,
another thing to think about is he is not the only person out there that has had this allegation brought to them.
Right.
But he is the main target right now of controversy on this subject. And, I, you know, so when I look at these things, I ask myself, okay, so why? What's the purpose in all this?
Well, time out for a minute. Time out.
Yes.
I'm about to read something to you in the chat room. The Internal Revenue is being asked to investigate allegations that Kane's campaign's chief of staff improperly used funds from a tax-exempt nonprofit for Kane's presidential campaign, reports NBC Nightly News investigative correspondent Michael Somebody. Let me see what this is about. Because now, see, they will not quit.
No.
It's the cost files. So they couldn't, it didn't work with the allegations. It didn't work with anything else. So now they're coming with this. They're coming out with this. I'm telling you, if the mainstream media succeeds in their character assassination of Herman Cain, I am going to be the vocal, one of the most vocal voices calling for the dismantling of the mainstream media. And you know how you do that? You boycott and you refuse to buy the products of every company that advertises on those channels. See, they don't think we have the power. Let me tell you guys something else. As Americans, we also have the power to withhold our money. And that is what, if they want to play like that, we can play an economic warfare with them. And we will win. But just reading this, Jennifer, this makes me angry. It makes me angry. It makes me angry. And I bet you the establishment on both sides, GOP and the donkeys, are working together. I really believe that. What do you think?
Well, God's in charge, and I always remember that as I keep moving forward in supporting Herman Cain for president. We keep doing the footwork. We keep spreading the truth. We keep spreading the truth that Frederick Douglass talked about. We acknowledge that to everyone that we see. I do. There's a movement out there to try to keep this that has been put out there by the Democratic political party. They don't want the truth to be told.
Right.
There has been so much that has been put out there. You know, there is the KKK was a part of the Democratic Party.
Right.
The last person that Martin Luther King voted for was Republican. Frederick Douglass himself was a Republican.
Right.
The things that the original Republican Party stood for, some of that, I think, has definitely been left behind, the things
right.
that our forefathers stood for have been left behind, and I think there are so many people that have been a part of knowing the truth that they are afraid to be exposed, to have anything to do with that, that they will go to great lengths in the media to try to smear the man that stands for liberty and stands for what our Constitution was written, the foundation that our Constitution was written on.
Yeah. You're
and so as
right.
we right, and so as we go forward, and we listen to, and read about, and see all the things that the media tries to put out there, then we have to continuously move forward to carry the message that Frederick Douglass stood for.
Right.
And I can tell you that if you do not know what that message is, then there is a wonderful book out there called The Frederick Douglass Republicans that was written by K. Carl Smith with Dr. Carney C. Smith Sr. And there's a website that you can go to as well. We can post that
okay.
for anybody that wants to purchase the book. But that book speaks volumes of the things of what Frederick Douglass did, and in spite of the abuse that he witnessed and was done to him as well.
Right.
He himself said that he would bring his slave owners back into his house and he would feed them and have supper with them. The very people that mocked Jesus.
Right.
He loved them enough. Stretched out his arms enough for us. And we have an opportunity with Herman Cain to get that back, what our nation has so sorely been missed.
Right.
And so as those of us, I will tell you what's happening in the grassroots is we see this stuff and his fundraising efforts go up. His campaign money keeps flowing in. And when the money flowing into Iowa was coming in and the debate was happening and such, all this stuff was coming out on the media about the sexual harassment, money was pouring in $1,000 a minute.
Wow.
Because people are saying, we the people are saying that we are fed up with the political game, with the lies that are being smeared out there. It's not
right.
about, you know, well, you took my candy, so I'm going to take my toys and go home kind of mentality. You know, this he said, she said stuff. You know, let's get beyond all of that because we have people here that need to get back to work.
Right.
We have people here that are making $28,000 a year that every year they have to go and they spend, you know, a portion of their income tax money to file for income tax.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, with his 999 plan that he talks about, you know, I like the fact that I get to keep most of my paycheck when it comes to me biweekly.
Right.
I mean, that puts food on my table for me and my son. And when I go to the checkout, you know, we see a drop in cost of each item that I get swiped when as I go through the checkout line. You know, and I just think that, you know, we just need to educate ourselves. We need to get off our couch, get out in the streets, and get ourselves educated. And once we understand, then we need to go and speak it loudly to others. And educate our brothers and our sisters to this.
Right.
There is a movement out there of people that want to see God and prayer back in the schools. And they want to see life people to realize that life is from the heartbeat.
Right. Right, exactly.
And we need to take back our right to have a choice and not allow the media to dictate to us who is going to be the next leader for this nation.
Exactly. See, here's the thing. Some people believe that, okay, if we lose the election 4 more years, then that'll lock socialism in. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that if we get 4 more years of that, they're going to get something that they're not capable of stopping. And see, when you have 100 million American people upset. Uh-oh. Are you there, Jennifer?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, something's wrong with the sound in the chat room, so I got to tell everybody to refresh. The show did not just end. What on earth? We have a hacker on our show. I'm going to take a quick break real quick. Hold on the line because someone's hacking.
I'm here.
So, all right. Let's see. What song do I want to play? Break Off the Chains. Can you guys hear me in the chat room? Raise your hand if you can hear me in the chat room. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You can hear me. Can you guys hear Jennifer? Skype is really making me mad. Can you guys hear me now? Well, folks, I am going to try to do something real quick. I am going to refresh. I'm going to refresh my Skype. Can you guys hear me now? All right, folks. No fighting in the chat room. Anyway, okay, we're back now. I cannot wait. Welcome back to Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Thomas Smith, with my guest, Ms. Jennifer Kaniak Montrose. And you know what? I cannot wait to get away from, I can't wait to get away from Blog Talk Radio. I love Blog Talk Radio. But they allow hackers. Yeah, I know, Michael, I just unmuted you. Somebody's hacked my show, and it's one of those liberal, you know what? Hey, Jennifer, pause for a minute because I'm getting ready to come unleashed for a minute. Part of the name of my show is Christians Unleashed. You know what? I know somebody is in here with the capabilities of Blog Talk Radio who you may have. You may have the inside ability or whatever. But I'm going to tell you this. You keep acting like that, and that's why my network will end up putting your network out of business. You have a good thing going. Why is it that a person has a good thing going and then they always allow themselves to become slanted to the left? Because if you're really that smart, you would not sell your soul to the devil and allow yourself to become liberal. We pay a whole lot of money to BTR for you guys to allow our shows to be hacked. Conservative Bible, I am talking to the BTR Yeah, I understand, Robert. I know. So it's somebody on BTR. It's someone within BTR. And I hope you know you're going to lose a lot of your customers in a little short while. Because if you want to play games like that, I'm not really the one you want to mess with. Because you're not the only one that's capable of doing business. Having said all that, let's get back to my guest, Miss Jennifer. I'm sorry that you had to hear me go off like that, but this is not cool. They only do it to conservatives. They don't do it to liberals. And quite frankly, I am sick and tired of it. So, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, where were we before we got so rudely interrupted?
Well, I was just talking about how we need to stay focused on the solutions.
Right.
We need to keep God first, and we need to stay focused on the solutions, and we need to listen and pay attention to what and stay up on the truth of what is happening out there so that we can, I think that as we read and educate ourselves, that is the most valuable tool that we can have alongside prayer and God being number one.
Right.
So many times I think we listen to what, you know, our families say. Well, you know, I'm an Alabama football fan because I grew up in the town and it's the college, you know, that everybody here supports, you know, and stuff. And so that's who I support because my father did and, you know, his father before him.
Right.
And so on and so forth, you know, and we cannot afford in this country to have that kind of mindset. I need to know who God is for me and my understanding of who God is and what God represents in my life.
Right.
So that when I share that with others, that comes loud and clear, not by what I say, but how I live my life.
Right, exactly.
So when you watch what Herman Cain does and you see his actions match what he says, as others are up on the debate stage trying to bicker back and forth about he said, she says, or a dog and pony show where they top dog one another on previous questions, I notice that he stays on point and he talks about the solutions. Let's get back to the situation that we have in this nation. We have a crisis here. People are out of jobs. You know, we are selling ourselves to other countries. When is the last time we were a country where we actually produced a product that we made profit off of because of our own American employees? You know, when you call a company and they put you on hold and they stick you with somebody that's been outsourced to another country, I get infuriated.
Right.
And I think about the person down the street making $28,000 a year that would love to be the person on that phone line helping you out.
Right.
Making that bread to go on the table for their kids.
Right, exactly.
You know, I think, you know, the thing that that I saw that was so impressive to me was May the 27th when the tornado hit in Tuscaloosa County.
Right.
It was not about the color of your skin. I'm not going to not help you because you're black or because you're a Latino. What I saw was people came together regardless of age, race, creed, religion, or lack of. We saw that there was a community here that was devastated, and we watched people come from far and near, and we saw people rise up as warriors for taking pride, you know, and so I remember there was a lady who had a cell phone, and she had heard that there was this trailer park that had been devastated and nobody had any covering. There was no roof for anybody to get under. There was no shade, and it was in the heat of the day, and people were getting burnt by the sun. And she said, I'm going to go and I'm going to help these people. And she was just a common, you know, regular citizen on the street that followed her heart and followed God's calling. And she went out there, and before you know it, she's on the radio every day. And the EMS team and the fire department made sure that she had a cell phone so she could stay connected. She was the link between the people and the rest of the world because they had nothing. They had lost it all, no electricity or anything. And
right.
So I saw that same thing happen with Katrina, you know.
Right.
So when your neighbor is hurting like that, we need to do the things to educate them, to show them how to. You know,
right.
Herman Cain's dad worked three jobs to make ends meet for his family. He didn't have it given to him. It wasn't a spoon-fed to him with a silver spoon. He had to work for everything. So when he says, get off the couch and go do something, make something of yourself, be proud to call yourself an American, you know,
right.
And that's the kind of value that I want my son to understand. I want him to see that in me. That
Amen.
I'm not just sitting there waiting for another handout. I don't want someone else to steal what I have worked so hard for. You know, if you don't have it, then I will cook a meal for you, and I will help you put food on your table until you can get to a place to where you can do that for yourself. And if you don't understand how to do that, and I do, then I will show you how, so that
right.
you can go and you can show that to someone else.
Right.
And Frederick Douglass went out there, and he didn't have somebody there to teach him how to read. He had to go and fight for the ability to learn how. And he got the students that were allowed to go to school. He caught them on the stoop and said, "Show me. I want to learn." And
right.
he went back to those other slaves, and he showed them how. And he gave them hope. And I just think that we need to get back that same mentality, you know, helping our neighbor.
Right, right.
You know, and if you don't like it, there are other countries that will be more than happy to have you.
Right. Not really. We're American.
You know, this is the American, United States of America, where we speak English. This is our
right.
language. Learn it.
Right.
You know, and we will help you if you don't understand.
Right, right.
And when the forefathers were putting together and building this Constitution for the United States,
right.
they prayed. They prayed. And we want to say to our kids that if you wear an American flag to school on your shirt, that we're going to expel you because you might cause a riot. And if
right.
you're caught praying in the halls, if we allow you to have a group of kids that want to get together and pray before homeroom starts, that's going to cause a problem and going to offend somebody else. Well, you know?
Right.
Jesus
right.
went to the streets, and he went to the hookers, and he went to the poor people, and he talked to them, and he let them know that in spite of their circumstances, that he loves them and they're worth something.
Right.
And we as American people need to know that we are worth something. And it's going to take a man that has been there and done that in the trenches. When he went to Godfather's Pizza and they said, "We're about to go belly up."
Right.
He said, "Well, let me get into a pizza place. Let me go in there and let me see what's going on at the base of the level of the company, not corporate." He went down to a Godfather's restaurant and he said, "Okay, so how are you making these pizzas? What does it take to run this register and sweep these floors?" And he got there right up next, shoulder to shoulder with the people that were there.
Right.
And found the answers. And he said, "Okay, so this is what the problems are, and these are the answers, and let me go back up here to corporate, and I will come up with a solution." And
right.
they ended up making a profit.
Right.
We as a nation don't have to go broke. And we have a man that has a solution for that. If you can get past what the media is trying to shove in our faces on TV every night, on the
right.
radio every day, in the newspapers that we read.
You know,
I get infuriated. I get so infuriated when I think about you go to college and you've got professors that are teaching things that are so far left. Then I almost say, you know, to my son, if he's 9 years old, that if he decided to want to do something different, that I would be okay with that. Get yourself an education. Do it and work for it so that you can be proud of it.
I have a question for you, though. This is totally off the wall.
Right.
Well, actually, it's not totally off the wall because I need to know for me. How much is it going to cost for the caravan? Because while I'm in Missouri, I'm thinking about coming to one of those states, finding someone in the caravan, and going along. Do you guys have that information that you can put out yet?
We are in the planning stages of everything. Alabama's getting ready to have their first conference call this Thursday at 5:30, statewide conference call. Some of the things that we have thrown up in the air and have talked about is for each group that wants the caravan. We looked into renting buses, but buses are so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to do things cost effective.
Right.
Because the primary purpose here is...
Go ahead. You there? Jennifer? Hello? I think we lost our caller. Well, let's see. The call dropped, so we will wait till she calls back in. That was my friend Jennifer, but she'll be calling right back in a minute. So, let's see. There we go.
Okay, I just got knocked off and I'm back on again.
Okay, Jennifer, I got you.
What I wanted to say is we decided that we're looking into renting vans so they're easy to decorate. And for each group that's going to be on that particular vehicle, that's going to be riding in that particular vehicle, we're going to split the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And share, split the cost of that and split the cost of the gas.
Okay.
So, and I will tell you, the campaign's not paying us to do this.
Right.
They just found out about our idea.
And what
did
they say?
They just found out about it. They're excited. They're very, very excited. We talked to another person that's involved with us on the grassroots, John LaRosa, an awesome man. He has been doing such hard work online, trying to help get the truth out there and such. Very, very, very much appreciate all the things that he has done. He had spoke with Michael Johnson, who's the new media director for the Herman Cain campaign, and he just loves our convoy idea. So we're supposed to be getting in touch with him the next few days. I got to email him. But there is talk of the possibility of doing a little reality show out of this, because what we plan on doing is for every person on the Cain train, they may not be able to participate and travel to South Carolina with us, but they can meet us wherever we're going to stop. We're going to stop in key cities in each state, pick up more people, get on and follow in line. So we hope to have over a mile-long caravan.
Oh, wow.
And we're supposed to be catching up, meeting up with, from what I understand, we're trying to work out the logistics to get the schedule for Herman Cain's bus so that we can follow in behind. So we're going to have boots on the ground for 4 days.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, so they're talking about, we are going to be calling into radio stations and letting people know where we're going to be so people can tune in to your local talk radio. We'll be notifying people of which key cities we're going to be in. We're going to be doing interviews with the media. I will tell you that I'm going to be trying to contact Sean Hannity. Some of the others from some of the other news media and letting them know. We've already contacted the Dr. Gina show. We've spoke with the Source, 101 The Source, so they are aware as well. So there will be, we are going to get our voice heard.
Right.
This is going to be documented so that we will have film of this as well. There, it's just an outpouring. So we're telling people, just because you can't get on the van and you can't travel to South Carolina, you've got other plans, get you a Herman Cain sign and meet us at the corner of on I-20 and be the cheerleader for the caravan that is going down to South Carolina.
Right.
We have plans as well to take the convoy to Iowa, New Hampshire. They are working on plans to institute this in all the key states that are going to be necessary for his name ID to be out there.
Right.
And we plan on I plan on carrying the Frederick Douglass message everywhere I go.
Oh, one of my guests, or one of the listeners said, need to contact Michael Savage, too.
Yeah, we are going to make sure that we get the word out to everybody.
Actually, you know one person that you really need to contact? Because he hasn't came out and fully endorsed him, but I think he's going to endorse him if he hasn't already. Rush Limbaugh.
We have all of our resources. There are the things that people don't realize is that behind the scenes in the grass movement, there are armies of us. There are little camps of us all around, from one end of the state of California to the other end of Florida to upstate New York. We are everywhere.
Right.
We're in the rural areas. We are in the high school gymnasium where we have our little rally meetings, and we're at your local restaurant where there's a television so we can have debate parties. We're all over the place. The Kane Online support team, it is so valuable. It is so valuable. There, in getting the truth out there so that people can understand what's really going on. And so when the smear stuff starts coming out there, we're there with the facts.
Right.
We have Carl Abramson, who is the Caniac librarian. If there was anything ever written or videotaped about Herman Cain, he has it all blogged. He has it all logged in. There's a website, Caniac 2012.
Oh, wow.
We have Lolly Winnie, who is our national street team director for Elect Cain. She has been pounding the pavement for months now.
I know Lolly. I know,
yes,
Lolly.
And
go ahead, sorry.
There are so many of us that are so determined that, you know, and one thing I will say is that was very impressed. I was very impressed as I read facts about Frederick Douglass. He did not allow what happened to him. He did not become a victim. He took the anger that he felt, and instead of using that as and feeding the victim role, he said, I'm going to outgrow this, and I'm going to be a better person in spite of my circumstances. And he went out there in his community and made the decision to do that. And so he fought not only for freedom for the black slaves, but he fought for the freedom for the people in this nation that were not allowed to speak the truth.
Right.
The people that were considered by the elitists to be less than.
Right.
You know, and so I believe I'm voting for the man. He's a godly man. We all have our faults. You know, we all have things in our life that we might regret and we wish that we could take back or wish we had not done or said, but we cannot, this country cannot be run on resentment and hate.
Right.
And greed.
Right.
There's got to be, God's got to be number one.
That's right.
There's a tsunami wave of the Holy Spirit that's coming across this nation. It has been speaking loud and clear to us for months now.
Right.
If you just pay attention. And as you know, that as Jesus was being sought after to be hung on a cross, there were so many people screaming to kill him. And they didn't understand the prize in the end, the eternal prize in the end, and what he had to give up. You know, Harmon himself has got lots of money. He's not lacking in that.
Exactly. That's what a lot of people don't understand. They think because he's raising funds for his campaign, he must be a poor man. The man is worth $18 million.
I will tell you that you can be poor financially and be rich in spirit.
Amen. That's right.
Be poor financially and you can be rich in spirit. And it is those of us, the prayer warriors out there, the people that are out there putting in physical, no-sleep hours online to get the word out. My 9-year-old has been with me every night that we had the county fair. We were raising Cain awareness, had our booth out there. We were letting people know that this is a man that is an associate pastor in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. He sings. You know, there's a lot of things about this man that people want to overlook because they say, I don't want another black man in office because what has this black man that's there now done for me? The substance. It's, you know, when I look at what I read, it's the stuff, the ingredients on the inside that matter to me. The book itself, the cover of it, may look lifeless. It may not look interesting whatsoever, but when you start to really dive into the ingredients inside and you begin to see that this man really does have something to offer us.
Right.
He is the only man to ever walk this earth that was sinless was Jesus.
Right.
So he is definitely going to have issues.
Right.
We all do. None of us walk away without that. But if we have, this nation is crying for help. I want my child to be able to receive health care.
Right.
I don't want to live in a socialist country. If I did, I would have moved to Canada.
Right.
You know, I just believe that we need to take back what is rightfully ours, what rightfully belongs to God, needs to be brought back. And we're not going to have that happen sitting on our couches. And I will tell you that when this election time comes around and it's time to go to the polls and vote, those of you that sit at home and don't place your vote, when you do not vote, you're voting the other man in office.
Right. That is true. That is true.
Yes. So get out there and educate. And, you know, I don't make a lot of money. And I'm a single mom. I work full time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm a woman on a mission.
Right.
And I'm doing it for my 9-year-old. I'm doing it so that when he gets of age to want to be somebody, that there's something here for him to have.
Amen.
To work for.
That's right.
You know, and I want him to understand by the way that he saw me live my life.
Right.
The godly values. The godly values that we have here available to us. Free for the taking.
Exactly. And we don't have to allow somebody else, because they're offended by our faith, to try to frame us in the way that they think we should be. As believers, we need to start standing up for our faith, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, it is what it is, but we have to stand up for our faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, there may be those whose faith may be, but that's their choice. That's their choice. It's our, like you've been saying, it's our job to let our lives be an example, a living witness. And I believe, you know, I honestly believe that Harmon Cain exhibits those things. He never said he was perfect. It's like now they're digging for so much. But I'm telling you, Jennifer, if they try to dig something up and have him investigate it for whatever may or may not have happened with the campaign and nonprofit, when they did not investigate Tim Tax Cheat Geithner, Kathleen evaded taxes, Sebelius, Claire also evaded taxes, McCaskill. Let's see, who else? Charles Rangel, Barney Frank, many. I can name the list almost by heart of the Democratic congressmen and women, people in Obama's administration who did not pay their taxes. Some of them to the tune of thousands of dollars. But if they go after that man to derail his candidacy, I'm telling you, as God is my witness, I will Occupy Wall Street think they're doing something. I will go after every company that advertises with those channels, and there's a lot of them. And I will send out letters and let them know, you know what? You're advertising with the channel we don't like. We're going to boycott you. And then I'll set out to gather millions of true American, red-blooded, all-American patriots to stand with me. Because the truth of the matter is this, Jennifer. The Occupy Wall Street movement don't have anything on true American patriots. And we don't have to be violent. But we will defend ourselves if they decide to try to stand in our way and stand against our right to peacefully protest. So
I will say that it's time that we become doers of the word. We need to become doers of the word. Actions speak louder to me than your words. We need to stay focused on the solution. And that is what Herman Cain has been trying to do in the midst of all this adversity. When nobody else was going to Israel, he went to try to help better keep the peace.
Right.
And, you know, I think we could talk about what so-and-so did back when, and the
right.
media didn't cover it just right then. When one of our former presidents said that I did not inhale.
Uh-huh.
And everybody just sort of overlooked it.
And
you know?
I didn't. He also
and,
said,
you know?
Right.
So, you know, there, we could stay focused on all of that stuff all day long. But there is a crisis in our nation.
Right.
And we need people to feel like they have hope again.
Right.
And we need to put God back in this nation, which is going to be the one that's going to give us the hope that we need.
Right.
And let God's light shine through us. You know, I tell somebody the other day that you may not have the money to do this or that, to be a part of this can train, but you have a voice. So when you're sitting there over coffee chat with your lady friends, you can talk about the issues. You can get luncheons scheduled where you go to your local restaurant where everybody goes. And you can
right.
sit there and you can talk about what you want to do in your community to make it better for your kids so that we don't have things that have happened recently in the college campus where people turn the other cheek and look the other way. We need to be standing up for our godly values, the things that Jesus talked about when he walked here on this earth. You know, we know that things have happened in the past, but we have the ability now. God is a forgiving God. Let's forgive and move on forward. You know, let's do what we need to do to take back what is rightfully ours.
Right.
God wants us to take back this nation. We have an opportunity. We need to seize the moment. Time is of the essence here.
Right.
We have an election coming up, and before you know it, it's going to be time to go to the polls and vote. I mean, you know, there's been primaries that keep getting moved back and moved back. You know, ours is in March.
Right.
And you know, but God is in charge if we allow God to be in charge. So we pray,
right.
We move forward, we keep our boots on the ground. And, you know, I tell people, if you can't afford to spend the money it takes to, you know, give a dollar if you can.
Right.
Give a dollar if you can. And if you don't have that to give, if you need to put that dollar in your child's lunch money so that he has food to take to school with him, then the most precious thing you can give is to tell your neighbor the truth. Read and educate yourself like Frederick Douglass did, and
right.
and help verbalize and spread the truth.
Right. Oh, man. You know what they say. Time flies when you're having a phenomenal show. We're down to roughly 7 minutes and 50 seconds. So, Jennifer, what I would like for you to do, I would like for you to link your information in the chat room. Also, tell people where they can go to support Herman Cain. And also, people who are Herman Cain supporters, people with conservative talk shows, BTR shows in the room. Also, link your shows in the chat room. And last but not least, those of you who are not following me on BTR yet are following the show. Those of you who are not following me on Facebook, please follow me on Facebook. Follow the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed on Facebook and follow my show. So, having said that, Jennifer, take it away.
I just want to tell everybody that there is there's a website out there that you can go to that is part of the grassroots movement. This is the electcain.com website, and on that site you can link up to Herman Cain's main site as well, and it will connect you to all the social network media. You can also go to HermanCain.com, and from there you can sign up and join to be a part of and contribute financially if you feel led to do so. The money goes to help and pay for the commercial spot. It goes to help and pay for his ability to get out there and spread the message, the conservative message, the message of hope, the message of freedom, of liberty, and solutions. And don't forget 999.
Amen.
I will be so grateful when I do not have to spend half of my week's paycheck just to file my taxes.
Amen.
I just think that there's been a problem that needs to be addressed, and Herman Cain is the man to do that. He's been there. He's done that. And it's time to get the politician out of the Oval Office and put a businessman in there that can share with us from living experience.
Right.
And I stand behind this man, and I ask everyone else that is listening that if you're still undecided, get informed and read the facts. You can also go to, on Facebook, you can join the Kane Train Convoy group. I will post that link up to you. You can join the Kane Train Convoy group. There is a website, an email address that you can go to and sign up as well and let us know where you are in your state and all of your information, and we will find a place for you on the convoy. You may not be able to afford to travel, but you can be a sign holder, or you can call into your local radio and you can announce the information. You can pass this information along for your Facebook friends and all your friends and your email and your coworkers and such. The email address is canetrainconvoy@gmail.com.
So, having said all of that, let's see.
I just want to say thank you for having me on. This has been a blessing. Thanks be to God, number one. And God bless America.
Amen. I like having phenomenal guests. As you notice, I let my guests do the talking, and that's kind of different than a lot of talk shows, because they'll interject or they may have a question. If you've noticed, I didn't ask you a lot of questions. I just kind of let you talk. That's the way I roll, because I can. That's my show. But, I'm going to say this. I have two people in the chat room who I care about. And one of the things, it breaks my heart that they can't get along. I don't know what's going on. But guys, we're in a critical point in our nation. And if we don't learn to put our differences aside, two people know who I'm talking to, so I don't need to say the names. I don't know the history. But honestly, I'm going to tell you something. It bothers me because I like you both. Let it go. Because we are fighting for our very existence in our nation. And when we fight and we argue, we're playing right into the hands of the socialists. Because when we're distracted by our bitterness and our hatred towards each other, it makes it that much easier for them to control us. And guys, I wasn't special forces or anything, never been to the military or anything like that, but I can tell you this. I know what it's like to have a hatred towards people so severe that when I looked at people, I wanted to kill them. I know what that's like. I was an angry young kid. But because of forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am where I'm at today. I love all you guys. You're my listeners. You're my guests. But come on, we're in a war for our country, not a physical war, but we're in a war of ideology for our country. The communists and the socialists think that they have us, but they don't. They don't. And if I'm the last one standing, I will still fight for this nation, and I will fight for the people that I care about and I love, and I will, above all, I will fight for my right to worship my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Want to thank everybody for coming in, and you guys have a good night. Oh, well.
I'm still on.
Yeah, I know. Antoinette, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm copying it,
and I'm sending it to you.
Okay, do that, because that wasn't necessary, and I don't understand why.
And I'm not going to put up with too much more of this mess.
You shouldn't have to, but this is what I want to say to you. Don't allow what that person did affect our friendship, because you are one of my dearest.
No, that has nothing to do with our friendship. That's just her.
Yeah, I know, but at the same time, I don't want you to stop listening to my show because of her. I care about you. You know what? Jennifer, this is a really good, awesome friend of mine. I have a whole bunch of
mother figures.
And
Antoinette is one of them.
And so, you know, I care about what happens to people. And, yeah. Anyway, I'm about to cry and start babbling like a baby.
Yeah, I'm about to cry, too, because that's how mad I am.
Well, you have a right to be. And people going to hear this in archive, but that's all right. It doesn't matter, because sometimes my show is called Christians Unleashed. Yeah, Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed.
Honey, look, go talk to... Okay, sweetheart, go talk to Aunt Jenny for a minute, okay? I'm sorry, that was my granddaughter.
Oh, no, you're all right. Oh, man.
And I didn't hack into your show.
I don't know how to hack into any shows.
You know, and what would I do that for? I'm too old
right.
to be sitting and playing some little childish games.
I know. I knew it was you. It can only be someone in BTR that's a part, that's in the background, or that's a part of that. And Jennifer, as Kane Nation Radio and stuff like that, I know you appear on there a few times. Make sure that you let Lolly Nim know that, you know, Blog Talk Radio does that. They allow some of their liberal folks to hack into shows to disrupt us. That's not just
the liberal shows. I'm telling you, when I co-hosted on a liberal show, we had that problem, and that was in 2009 when I did it. And we had that problem, too.
Why are they allowing that to happen? That's ridiculous.
I don't know.
I won't even.
I mean,
you know,
I'm just telling you, it's not just one set. It's just whatever it is they go in it or... It's certain keywords that you use or something like that
right.
that it'll go down. Because I noticed that when I was doing shows and I was a co-host, certain
right.
keywords and it would drop, the show would drop.
Right, right. And, hey, Jennifer, I have...
But I'm not going to be calling a bunch of bees and stuff like that.
Right. You shouldn't have to be. And I have a solution for that. So here... Because I want you, like I said, I want you to make sure that you come to my show. Hey, Jennifer, Annie from
yes.
Southern Sense, she does a show which is called Southern Sense, a phenomenal, awesome show. She's also a Tea Party. She's a Tea Party leader in South Carolina, and she wants to have you on the show. So she wanted to know if it would be okay if I gave you her contact,
definitely.
Your contact information
yes.
so that you guys can
yes.
call and get something set up.
Definitely.
Okay, I will do that because part of my job is I love networking. And also, make sure that you let me know what it would be a cost, how much it would cost for me to, like, caravan with somebody because I'll travel down there and, you know, pay my share. I definitely want to go. I want to be a part of this. I'm not the kind of person that's content with just holding a sign. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I really want to be. I just really want to be a part of it. So.
Network in your area, and I guarantee you, you'll find somebody that has got just as much unbridled enthusiasm as you do, as I do, that will be willing to help you. I'm running for District 4 delegate.
Oh, really?
I don't know how I'm gonna get to Florida. But is God, Jesus, my Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. I believe that God will make a way.
Wow. Why didn't you tell us that? Well, maybe we can do some things to help you get to Florida, too. Fundraising and whatever. We can do some things.
So I haven't publicly come out and announced it yet because I need to know. I need to know who my opposition is or who actually I'm going to be, if there's anybody else that's going to be running against. What I am hoping for. Oh, this is great. The cane train convoy is, like, on the rise.
Oh, that's good.
Late night, Monday night, I set up this group, and it's now 72 members.
Where is it?
73.
Well, I don't have a link to it. What's up with that?
I need to join you or add you.
Okay. Yeah. Because I'm supposed to be added to every cane train group or in whatever hurricane train group that you
Or you
create.
Need to get on the cane online support team.
Well, you can. Whatever it takes. Whatever, because you know what? I have some powerful resources in terms of people that can really help push this. And one individual.
You just got added.
Okay. Thank you. It just popped up on Facebook. But
yes.
I wanna have you if I can. I wanna have you back every few weeks or
that would be great.
Just to give us an update on what Hurricane is doing and, you know, the direction and stuff like that. And also, I want to get the Kane Nation hooked up with an interview. And I gave Lolly the information, but an interview with Pastor C.L. Bryant. So we just go from there and...
I will tell you that personalities will conflict at times.
Right.
Personalities will conflict at times. And what I have learned is, and I don't pay attention to the messenger sometimes. I have to pay attention to the message.
Exactly.
And so when people come at me, and I've had this happen to me over my 48 years of living. When people come at me like that and want to slander me or say, I always know what I'm a chosen God's favorite child.
Amen.
And so I just have to remember to look to the Lord when people are doing that, and I stab my spear in the ground, and I say that as Jesus dwells within me, that I will rise up because God is my rock. And I've had to stomp my feet on the rock many times in my life.
Right.
And I'm a woman who spent a month and a half in a safe house.
Right.
I'm divorced as a result of, but God is in the driver's seat in my life today. And so I'm human, so I try not to allow those adversities that come at me to get the best of me. Because what Satan wants me to do is to get angry and to use it for his purpose.
Right.
And so what I do is I take those circumstances that come at me in my life, and when they come at me, I sing a song of praise. And I come back at that with unity and love.
Right.
And as my spiritual message gets stronger, then all that negativity gets weaker.
Right.
And just like, you know, the reason that the snake is what the snake is and lives the way it does, in reference to the book of Genesis. So, and we also have to remember that there is a Judas in the Herman Cain campaign.
Really?
There is a Judas in the Herman Cain campaign. Somewhere, it's not come out publicly, but we just have to remember that just as we are trying to follow Lord's calling for this next president of the United States, Satan is nipping at our heels.
Well,
and we have somewhere in the midst, there is a wolf in sheep's clothing. There's got to be. That's just the order of things. And so we as prayer warriors stand in the gap, and we are marching in the streets, and we're holding up signs, and we're sitting in the coffee houses talking about Frederick Douglass and what he stood for. And we're talking about freedom that God
right.
has given us.
Well, you know what? This is what I say to that. I am a prayer warrior too, and one of the things that I'm going to do, I'm going to pray. And by faith, with you being a charismatic Episcopalian, you know about the gifts of the Spirit, apostle,
yes.
prophecy, all that good stuff. I'm going to pray that individual be revealed in that, in Jesus' name, that they be dealt with. Because everything in the dark comes to the light. And, you know, we have to stand up for the people we love. Just like, you know, Antoinette,
yeah.
She's my friend in Delaware. I love her to pieces. Never met her in life. And sometimes we disagree on things.
I love you too.
But we have a friendship through Blog Talk Radio, and when she's upset or hurt, I care, and it affects me. That's why, you know, I am a unifier. I work, one of the things that I desire to do is to work to bring people together. That's just my heart. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just excited about everything that's going on, and even if we have to, I may get a hold of some people up here in Missouri, see if they would be interested in joining the caravan down there. We drive down there and follow you guys or something. What do you think about that, Jennifer?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think that we need to show the media that you are no longer in control of we the people.
Right.
And we can make use of our resources that are out there. We have
right.
YouTube that spreads the word. We have the Cain campaign now that is on board with this. Michael Johnson, the new media director,
cool.
wants to put the Cain campaign cameras on us. So we stay prayed up. We now have the Cain prayer train.
Did you add me to that group too?
That is officially on board. Yes.
You did that.
And everyone that's on the Cain prayer train gets immediate access from the campaign, the current prayer request for the day, and sometimes
for
the moment. So that the Cain train will be undergirded by God.
Right. So is the Cain prayer train as part of the Cain train convoy, or is that something different?
Herman Cain gave the order to a state director in Nevada that he wanted prayer teams all around the country.
Okay.
They should make it happen. So, a woman that is on our committee here for Crimson for Cain, her daughter is the director for leader for the Nevada on the campaign. State director. She's the one that got it. So I was in conversation with Father Mike Schlegel, who is a priest in the Charismatic Episcopal Church.
Okay.
And he recently moved to Montgomery, Alabama. He was in Selma at our archdiocese, our head church for our district, and where the bishop resides and preaches. And because of his travel, he's in the Air Force. He's you know, internet IP man with the Air Force, and so he had to drive from Selma to Montgomery. So that was, you know, 2 hours.
Right.
You know, every drive one way, so.
Wow. 2 hours one way.
Anyway. It's a 2 hour trip, but it's 1 hour every, anyway, so he was driving an hour to get to work every day, and it was just killing him, so. And we were on the phone. He's a really dear friend of mine. And I had been telling him about, you know, my supporting Herman Cain and my efforts and everything. And he said that he was initially going to be supporting another candidate. And I said, well, just pay attention, pray, and listen for the truth, and read the truth. So he did. And we were in a conversation one night, and the Holy Spirit began to speak through him. And he verbalized out loud and almost fell off of his chair as he said that Herman Cain is our next president of the United States. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart and soul.
Do you know, I said that when he was down at 1% in the polls. I just said it like that. I said, Herman Cain is our next president. So that just bears witness. That just means that we have to do more work. We have to do more work and more work. So, Ms. Jennifer, are you going to be up for a while, my friend? Or you got to go to bed?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
No, I'm going to be up for a while.
I am going to call you after I fix my friend's computer here. And Antoinette, you keep coming to the show because you're a viable member of my listener team. We've talked on the phone for hours and hours on Skype and stuff, and so don't be discouraged. And also don't let it get to you, because honestly, we are in a battle for our nation. We really are, and we need all our focus to be focused on the battle at hand. Because you know what? It's not too late. There are those intellectuals who think it is, but the war is not over. In fact, the war has only just begun for us. We're going to take it to them, and with the Herman Cain train about to, well, it's already exploding down the tracks, they're about to see a grassroots movement that's going to make the Obama grassroots movement seem like fluff. Watch.
Antoinette, before you hang up, keep in mind, when you attack me every day, every time you see me, you're attacking me.
Right.
Now, I don't come on no one's show to cause anyone any problems.
And you don't.
But now, after a while, you know, I have a life, too. I go through things in my life. I have problems that goes on. And
we
after a while, you attack me, and you attack me on the wrong day.
Right.
You know, and it's getting old. I mean, this has been, what, a year or close to a year, something like that? I'm tired of it.
Right.
No, and I'm not some little kid, too.
I understand. I think Jennifer wanted to encourage you in something. Go ahead, Jennifer. Jennifer?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Antoinette, I just wanted to ask if it would be okay if I say a prayer for you.
Sure.
As we come gathered together here, where two or more come in Jesus' name, there is strength and power in that.
Yes.
And I truly believe that we are in a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual warfare here.
Yes.
And Satan laughs. Satan laughs every time we get set up. He laughs every time we are met with this. And I just want to say right here and now that I bring the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ on you. I hedge a wall of thorns around you in the name of Jesus. I pour the blood of Jesus all over you. And every piece of ground on this earth that you step foot on, may it be holy ground. And I ask in the Lord Jesus' name that with every word that comes out of your mouth, that it be coming directly from God. When hate is being spewed at you, that you come back with the words of Jesus.
Amen.
And that the Holy Spirit to just be full in everything that is surrounding you, to cover you, to protect you and your family. And we ask that right now in Jesus' name, that if there is anyone that is around her that is filled with all this Satan negativity, hate, anybody that is of the opposition, that is trying to do harm to you and the message of truth, the godly message that you are trying to carry, we ask that right now in Jesus' name that it be stomped in the ground and sent down to hell. We pray also, Lord, that as she moves with every action that she takes these next coming weeks, that it shine like a beacon, put the lamp on top of the table. It's not to be covered up. We are to be seen as ambassadors for Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go forth, I just pray that every word that comes out of her mouth when things are thrown at her, that she come back with words of wisdom through the Lord Jesus Christ working in her and through her. And we ask, Lord, that as this show keeps moving forward, that you would just bless it with all the necessary things to keep the truth alive, to keep the truth alive. And we just pray, Lord, that that with every word that was spoken tonight by everyone, myself and others, that there, if there was anything negative that was perceived, that you turn it all into good.
Mm-hmm.
David, they said he could not slay Goliath. The army was too small. They said that there's only 5 loaves of fish and bread. They said this is water. This is all we have. I don't have anything to give, but this one measly little coin is all I have. But God took all of those things and did something powerful, and he was a witness. And we just ask that as we go forth in this next election, that you would take what is meant to be for harm and for negative and for evil and turn it into something positive so that we can win the souls of this nation back to Christ. We need to overturn Roe versus Wade so that we can no longer commit the murder of the kids, the children, out there that are precious children of God. We need to recognize that from the conception of the heartbeat, there is life, and not discount it. So Antoinette, as you go forth in your night, I just pray that God will speak to you in your dreams, and that as you read God's word, that he will just shout his message to you, what your next step is. Mission. We are all part of God's army. We all have our place. The hands work as well as the feet. We have all the needs of every part of the body of Christ. And God does not discount any one of us. We are all his favorite. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That was a powerful prayer.
Thank you.
All right, ladies, Antoinette, you just sit back, you relax, and have yourself something yummy and delicious to eat for me, because I'm hungry.
I'm going to go and drink some coffee.
Oh,
He's a coffee drinker, too.
Oh, we have two coffee connoisseurs. Antoinette isn't happy until she has her first cup of coffee. So.
Yeah, well, that's all I drink is coffee and water.
Give
me the information, the lady from the tea party that wanted to contact me. Just make sure that she has all of my information.
I will do that. And when I call you, I'll give that to you. And I'm also going to call her, too. So. All right,
ladies.
Have
a good one, folks.
Thank you all for
you're
being
welcome.
On the show.
Peace.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thomas, I sent that to you through Skype.
Yeah, I got it. I did get it.
Okay.
And I'm reading through it. So, all right, my friend, you get yourself some rest, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You have been listening to the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio. We hope you enjoyed the After Hours show, and stay tuned for the next episode of the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio.
Keep the fire with you.
thank you for tuning in to the Invisible Conservative Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio. Have a good night.